Very good morning again. And again, happy Mother's Day to all you YouTube mothers who are out there in YouTube land that listen to us, those 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 people, whoever you are. Lord bless you, mothers. And again, all the mothers here. This morning, I have a very uplifting message, I think, anyway. But there is a counter side to that message, but I'm not going to get into that, especially not in detail, but I'll do the blessing side of it. And I want a scripture up there. It's out of Psalm 67, verse 1, first scripture. Okay, he's got part of it up there. So God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. I heard this explained by a Jewish scholar, what this actually means, what this applies to. And what it applies to is this. It's like when I'm playing with my granddaughter, I'm trying to get a smile on her to smile. So this is what God means when he wants to shine, cause his face to shine upon us. So he wants us to smile. And this is in literally, he says, literally, God is trying to make his children smile the same way I'm trying to make my granddaughter smile every time I play with her. It gives me great joy when she smiles at me. Just something that happens. And that's the same thing what this means. When he causes his face to shine upon us, it makes the Father smile when we smile. That is the heart of God. And he loves us. So before I get into the next part of my message, I want to ask you to rise. We'll ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, you will anoint, you will bless, you will touch. Lord, we know we have a God that has life. Through his Spirit, we have life. There is no death. So I, through this life, that we will abound. The words will abound with life. They will bring forth fruit. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for your grace. You may be seated. In John, out of King James Version 3, the third epistle of John, verse 1, 2 to 4, out of the King James Version. This is God's, what he wants for us. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So they're already saved. They're prospering in the spirit or in soul. And he says, "I wish above all things that you will prosper." That is God's wish for you. That is God's, what he wants, that you be in health and that you prosper. Remember the prayer when Jesus taught his disciples on not to pray repetitiously, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," but a guideline to pray. He says, "Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name," in other words, "holy is he." And he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as where? As it is in heaven." That is God's will. That his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that is his perfect will for us. And God very seldomly gets his perfect will. He always has to go to his second or third option because of disobedience, because he allows us to make decisions. And a lot of these decisions are not good. But this is what I'm going to get into here. Again, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper." And I know in this world, prosperity could mean a wide variety of things. Prospering could mean, I mean, there's lots of wealthy people. That doesn't necessarily mean you'll have everything that you want. That's not, that is prospering, but this could mean you'll have no lack. You'll lack nothing. You'll have everything. That's also prospering. How many of you are prospering here? A show of hands for anybody who's prospering here. There's a few of you. That's good. We're prospering. The Lord has given us more than we need, above and beyond. That's how good God is. And in John 3, continuing, I think that's verse 2 to 4, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Even as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." See, here they have it. He has it in reverse. This is what you need to do to prosper, to walk in truth. Then God prospers you. And I will get into this from the Old Testament. Is the Old Testament still valid? Do we still go to the law of the law of Moses? Or is it still valid? Absolutely it is, and I'll prove it to you. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 4, I'll start with that. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if you will, I'm going to change some words from the thous and the shall, the shalt, and if you will hearken or listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, and to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord your God will set, then the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth." Here he's talking to the children of Israel, which the church is a reflection of that. It's an allegory. This is allegorical. We are now representing that same blessing here. "All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you." Not only come upon you, they will overtake you if you will listen unto the voice of the Lord your God. "Blessed will you be in the city." You're in town, you'll be blessed. "Blessed will you be in the field." If you will work in the field, farmers, you will be blessed. It's just a natural law of God if you are into his, if you love, even love his laws and are into it and don't despise him. "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed will you be in the city. Blessed will you be in the field. Blessed will be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground." Whatever you put into the ground, it will be blessed. "And the fruit of your cattle and the increase of your cattle and your flocks and your sheep and your pigs and whatever else, other livestock you have nowadays. Blessed will you be when you come in, and blessed will you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face." And here, there's different, our enemies are, today our enemies are the demonic forces. This is who our real enemy is. People are being controlled by demons. So our real enemy is not the people, but the demons that are behind and controlling them. "And they shall come out against you one way, and they will flee you before you seven ways." So you come against, people come against you. Don't come against the people. Come against the people or the demons that are behind it. "And they will flee and scatter in seven ways. And the Lord will commend the blessings upon you in your storehouses." And in, is that extra? That storehouse seems to be excessive. All of a sudden we have storehouses that he's going to bless us. That's above and beyond what you need. And that means because you have your priorities straight. The blessings and the riches are not your God. God is your God. He is the one that caused this to happen because he let his face shine upon you and you allowed his grace and his love and his laws to rule your life. "And in all that you set your hand on, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given." So if you have a nice property, enjoy it. The Lord has given it to you. Enjoy it. "The Lord will establish you as a holy people," which is the church now, "and unto himself, for he has sworn unto you that you will keep the, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, all the people of the earth will see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you." In this case, this means they will reverence you. "And the Lord will make you plenteous in goods." I mean, that seems excessive again. Well, shouldn't we be just content with whatever little we have? Yes, we should. But if he gives you more, be thankful and give. And now you're in a position to give unto those that need also. Because if you don't have people that have in the kingdom, we don't have givers. You can't give of what you don't have. "So the Lord will make you plenteous in goods and in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of the ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give you. And the Lord shall open unto you the good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain on your land in his season." This is part of the blessings that God is going to give you. As farmers, we all know that we need rain in timing. So if you have too much rain, it doesn't work, it drowns. And if you don't have enough, It dries up. So in season, the Lord will allow you to have rain right on time and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall not lend unto many nations, but you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only and not beneath, if you will listen unto the commandments of the Lord your God. I like that he put in, if you will listen unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, to observe and to do them. There's the next part. And you shall not go aside from any of the words that I have commanded you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods or to serve them. This is where the blessings will leave you. If you start following after other gods. So are all these blessings still relevant today? Absolutely, yes. They are not only something sweet, God. They are not only relevant for today. God has added something else to them, which is sweet. You know what that is? Grace. So now you have grace going with this to sweeten the deal even more. If you fail a little bit at some of these, you still get the benefit of that because we are under grace. Grace will end when the rapture happens. Grace is no more. You can just read what happens to the saints after that. After grace ends, it's not the same privileges that we have now. Now we can put demons to flight. We can do things that they will not be able to do during the tribulation saints. So now we'll go into something that Peter asked the Lord, Mark 10, verse 28 to 31, out of the King James Version. It says, "And Peter began to say unto him, But lo, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. So if any of you have left your jobs, your place where you grew up, your house, your home, listen to what Jesus has to say here. And Jesus answered and said, Truly I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, have you left house, or brethren, have you left your brothers or sisters, or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake and the gospel's, that he will receive 100-fold now in this time." Why do I need 100-fold? If Jesus said it, I will accept it. "But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time." This is not heaven, this is now. In this time, houses, brethren, sisters. Look at all the brethren and sisters the Lord has given us. He's multiplied them. "And now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution." This is interesting. Why with persecution? Why would he put that in there? I'm going to get back to that. "And in the world to come, eternal life." So now he's already promised us 100-fold with persecution. Who's going to persecute you? Why with persecutions? Now, this is already, you can see it. You just go in the internet and look at the successful preachers who have accumulated millions. Guess who's persecuting them? Who's slandering them? Those riches come with persecution. If all of a sudden I would drive around in a car that's maybe too pricey, God has blessed me with something like that, guess who I'll receive persecution from? Probably from people, maybe even this church. That's what happens. People of your own, I would say of religion, will come against you because, oh, that's not right. You shouldn't be owning those riches. But what did Jesus say? Jesus fortified this by saying, you shall receive in this lifetime 100-fold. Well, then you should ask also, why would Jesus say that? Why do you need 100-fold? Why not just give it to the poor? Well, Jesus said, that's what you'll receive if you will leave lands. In other words, you have set your priorities straight. The Lord is your God. You do not serve anything else. You do not serve riches, so he allows you. Remember what he told Solomon? He said, you can ask me anything you want, and I will give it to you. What did Solomon ask for? He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for anything. He asked for wisdom to lead his people. And then what did God say? Well, because you did not ask for riches, I will give you riches like no other and he will also give him wisdom. So he had the cart, the horse before the cart. He had his priority straight. So God, there is an accountability when it comes to having riches. You have to have wisdom when it comes to having riches. And you will get persecution regardless if you have riches. They will come. And in 1 John 5, in 1 John 5, third verse, this is part of the commandments that God has given us. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And guess what? His commandments are not grievous. So there is more good news. They are not burdensome. So whatever laws he lays upon you, he allows you a helper, which is the Holy Spirit, to help you live out the Christian life. So there is more grace. His commandments are not grievous. But there is a flip side to this message, and I will not get into detail about it. It's Deuteronomy. It starts with verse 15, and then it continues. And it's horrible. The flip side of this is horrible. To the children of Israel, when he wrote to them, if you will not keep or listen to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all these commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So there is a flip side to this. But we're not on the flip side. We're the ones who want to serve God and live for God and have his blessings as a result from wanting to please him and serve him. This is what we're after. And this is, I pray, that everyone will have his heart right before God and has priorities straight financially and most of all spiritually, so that God can bless us in all aspects of our life and most of all with health. If you have riches and you don't have health, they don't help you nothing. So we need, above all things, to prosper also in health. And Lord, you will let everybody here tonight or this morning and on you to be blessed with health in Jesus' name. And this concludes my part of the service. May the Lord bless you and make you a blessing.
Hallelujah. James had a good message. You want a persecution? Get rich as a Christian. The world, it's strange how the world operates, how Christianity operates. They go down the street, there's a businessman with a big house, couple of million dollars. Look at how God blessed him. He must really be doing good. They go a couple of blocks farther, they see a preacher's house, also a couple of millions. Look at how we waste God's money. That's awful. God said he will bless you if you follow his commandments. When I became a Christian, I did something that maybe most Christians try to do or do. I read the Bible. I didn't read it to become holier, because I know the holiness that I had came from God. I wanted to know who I was and the freedom that God wanted to give me. He said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. So I read the Bible on average for the last 40 years, maybe once a year, if not a little more. And I'm not saying this to brag, I'm just stating a fact. So I read the Bible quite a bit. There's parts of it I almost memorized. I know by heart, especially where freedom comes. I wanted to know if I'm going to heaven. I wanted to know eschatology, end times. when will I go to heaven? He said, Dave, the hour and the day, you'll never know, but you'll know when it'll happen. Hallelujah. You will know when it'll happen. So God set me free by studying the Word, by studying truth. And when you discuss this with certain Christians, some of them just can't seem to get it. Why? They haven't got their nose in the book. They read utter garbage. They study, if they do start read at all, they study what, maybe you study mathematics, maybe you study biology, maybe you study this or that, but whatever you study, whatever your interests are, that you can become knowledgeable in. I know my son, he studies cars, and he knows cars inside out. He knows what every little button does. He has to teach me, I kid you not, when I get some new vehicle, what's that for? I don't know. And he just flips it, and book that there. He studies it. That's what he enjoys. Anyway, I studied freedom. And I want to take you a shortcut. Listen to the freedom that God gave me. It's not a shortcut. It's going to cost you. It tells us in Romans chapter 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's where a lot of people get stuck. The law is to tell you how much of a sinner you are. You're a loser, whether you like it or not. You are born a loser. You have to become free. And God wants to do it. By the law, you will find the knowledge of sin. Then come, that's why so many Christians, so many churches are always under condemnation because they preach the law. If you don't do this, then you may be fallen. But God is not like that. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There's no difference. The faith of Jesus Christ is not your faith. How many do you know that? Your faith will not get you to heaven. God has to inject that faith. And he sees the heart and he ejects it into you. It's by the faith of Jesus Christ. And once God, once Jesus puts his faith in me, no human being on this planet can talk me out of it. It's impossible because I got the faith of Christ. For what? For believing on him, in him, and what is coming, what he did. It's awesome. He'll take you down roads that you can never even imagine. For all have sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified really by his grace. It's his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's only one name given. The redemption comes from Christ Jesus. not Buddha, not Confucius, none of those gods that are out there, actually devils. It's from Christ Jesus. He was the one given. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, who God has sent forth to be a propitiation. Now, that's a word nobody uses anymore, so I'll have to explain it. Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Propitiation of sin. It says here, to avert the wrath of God. Propitiation means to avert, to divert, to turn away the wrath of God. Through what? Through his blood. Isn't that awesome? So if you see the word propitiation, it means to avert. Dictionary still got it, but it's running out of time because it's a very old word. It's given the wrath of God takes away your sin so we can be offered the gift. What is the gift? Eternal life. I'm going to heaven, and it was given to me. I'm telling you, I'm going to spend time of eternity rejoicing. The few good times I have here on this earth, they're nothing compared to the bliss that God has in store. It says, no mind can comprehend, no ear has ever heard, nothing you haven't heard about what God has in store. That's worth studying the Bible for. Through. So the wrath of God is averted by the blood of Christ. Does that speak to your heart? I'm speaking to people on the internet. Has the wrath of God been diverted away from you by the blood of Christ? If not, you better turn to this God and get what he has for you. Therefore, we conclude Romans chapter 3. After all this happened, therefore we conclude a man is justified by faith and without the deeds of the law. Hallelujah. Get some people mad, but that's okay with me. The just shall live by faith, and I'm justified. I have not sinned in my life as far as God is concerned. Try to beat that. Hallelujah. I'm not a sinner in the eyes of God. I am pure and holy through what Jesus did on the cross for me. Now listen to this one. Try to believe it. Please. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Some may say, Dave, you give me too much rope. Yeah, I give you way too much rope if you can handle it. It's so you can live for God. Because once you understand these scriptures, you're going to be so incredibly indebted to God. You will love him. You will say, Lord, you're the only one. Praise you, God, for Jesus. It says, Romans chapter 7, verse 18, put it up. I've heard some people say to me, I don't agree with that verse. Sorry, I take the word, not your agreement. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to do perform that which is good, I can't, I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil that I would, I do not. Oh, boy, I must have gotten it mixed up here. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. So a lot of times, that's exactly what happens. I want to do good, but for some reason, I find myself doing the opposite. As you get older, and your wild flesh calms down, it starts to get old, it can't move as fast, you don't want to go out as much, your back goes out more than you do, then all of a sudden becomes easier. Then you start, yes, Lord, I can do that. But it says in the meantime, that which I want to be perfect. I want to be as perfect as God. Is it possible that I am in the flesh perfect as God? No, because I can't. I would like to, but I can't. I'm perfect in the spirit because of what Jesus did. It says here that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Me and sin have been separated. It was crucified on the cross. It still dwells there, but it was crucified through the blood of Christ. Whatever it does has no meaning as far as your salvation is concerned. It might bring you down on this earth, but it can never change your status in the eyes of God. You're perfect, you're pure, you're holy. I love that. That's freedom. That's why the Bible says, rejoice evermore. How can you rejoice evermore if you don't know that you're going to heaven? That's the only way. I'm going to heaven, maybe today yet. I'm rejoicing already. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I love this one. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, our champion. I'm not a champion. Jesus is our champion. He's the one that did it for us. That's why we don't look at ourselves. Look what I done. That's why I don't brag. Look what Dave has done. I didn't do it. The very air I breathe, I know comes from Jesus. If I go to the washroom, listen to this. I experienced this already. If I go to the washroom, it's by the grace of God. If I take a bite of a steak, the reason it tastes good, it's by the grace of God. I've had the other side. Let me tell you, I know when your taste buds get jumbled up, that what you put in your mouth and you pray over it and it smells like your flush toilet, you know that something screwed up, and it's the grace of God that fixes it. Thank you, Jesus. I've been there. I have the experience. I know what it's like. And I know there are some of you here know exactly what I'm talking about. even the very food you eat, the taste you get out of it, it's by the grace of God. So it says, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. I'm righteous in the eyes of God. I'm righteous as my bridegroom. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you. Make you a blessing.
In days of peace and days of rest, in times of loss and loneliness, though rich or poor, your word is true, that all my ways are known to you. No trial has come beyond your hand, no step I walk beyond your plan. The path is dark outside my view, still all my ways are known to you. And oh, what peace that I have found wherever I may be, for all my ways are known to you. Hallelujah, they are known. Death will be the door to life. You take my hand and lead me through, for all my ways are known to you. And oh, what peace that I have found wherever I may be, for all my ways are known to you. Open up my eyes so I may see that you, my God, will walk with me. Open up my eyes so I may see that you have made these ways for me. Open up my eyes so I may see that you, my God, will walk.